Hey folks, this is Matt Granger, portrait and travel photographer from Sydney, Australia. You're listening to the Petapixel Photography Podcast with Sharky James.
Welcome to the Petapixel Photography Podcast, episode 22. Reuters issues a worldwide ban on RAW. Maybe now those I Shoot JPEG t-shirts will start moving. In this episode, news agency Reuters bans RAW. Ken Rockwell would just love that. Nikon surprises no one, announcing the D5 is in development. Does this make Nikon sound desperate? Adobe releases a Lightroom update to fix the disastrous 6.2 release. Guragear goes with Tamrac. And someone alters a photo pegging an innocent man as a terrorist. All that and more in episode 22 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Thank you so much, Matt, for opening the show. I greatly appreciate it. Now, you may remember him as formerly being that Nikon guy. They say Nikon down in Australia where he is. We say Nikon, but it's all good. And now you can find him over at mattgranger.com. And you're going to hear a little bit more from Matt coming up in this episode. And I'd like to thank you all for joining us here in episode 22 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. We appreciate you all so much, and thank you for subscribing, rating, and reviewing us in iTunes or wherever else you listen to us. Before I get into today's show, I wanted to give a shout-out to Trey Ratcliffe. I covered his new Aurora HDR software in episode 20, and the other day, while broadcasting video live on Facebook, Trey was listening to that episode. That is awesome. This episode is going to be a little bit shorter as I get ready to move from Utah up to Idaho with my family. Moving, I tell you, not fun at all. Anyone tells you it is, just walk the other way, because they're clearly lying. Idaho, can you believe it? Let the potato jokes begin now. Okay, with that, I'm your host, Sharky James. Let's hit it. This story is no doubt going to kick up the RAW versus JPEG debate once again, and Ken Rockwell is going to have a field day with this one. Like I said, maybe those I Shoot JPEG shirts are going to start moving now. Leading news agency Reuters has implemented a new worldwide policy for freelance photographers that bans photos that were processed from RAW files. Photographers must now only send in photos that were originally shot as JPEGs to their cards. In other words, no shooting RAW, then saving it out as a JPEG. It must originate as a JPEG file. An email was sent out this week from a Reuters pictures editor to its freelance photographers and says, quote, "I'd like to pass on a note of request to our freelance contributors due to a worldwide policy change. In future, please don't send photos to Reuters that were processed from RAW or CR2 files. If you want to shoot RAW images, that's fine. Just take JPEGs at the same time. Only send us the photos that were originally JPEGs with minimal processing, cropping, correcting levels, etc. Cheers," end quote. Petapixel reached out to Reuters for comment, and they said that the policy change was made to increase both ethics as well as speed. Reuters says, quote, "As photojournalists working for the world's largest international multimedia news provider, Reuters Pictures photographers work in line with our photographer's handbook and the Thomson Reuters Trust Principles. As eyewitness accounts of events covered by dedicated and responsible journalists, Reuters Pictures must reflect reality. While we aim for photography of the highest aesthetic quality, our goal is not to artistically interpret the news," end quote. They go on to say, quote, "Speed is also very important to us. We have therefore asked our photographers to skip labor and time-consuming processes to get our pictures to our clients faster," end quote. This is pretty big news in the photo world for everyone who aspires to be a freelance photographer for Reuters. Don't even bother sending in photos that weren't JPEGs originally. If you shoot RAW and convert them to JPEG, they will know that. You must shoot JPEGs or shoot RAW plus JPEG, but you can only give them the JPEG files. This is big, big news. They're not only saying that the demands to get the photos out there in the wild are great, and thus they need slash want photographers to cut out some of the steps associated with dealing with these ginormous RAW files, they're also feeling the need to assure the public that what they're seeing is real, and to that end, they want the original JPEGs, not JPEGs processed from RAW. And this really shouldn't be a problem at all. Photojournalists know how to get it right in camera, so JPEGs will work just fine. And you know what? Many don't even shoot RAW for that reason. They just shoot JPEGs and call it a day. Also, as mirrorless matures, it'll be even less of an issue because you can see your exposure live right there in the EVF, the electronic viewfinder. So you know that you've nailed your exposure right there before you even take the photo. I know a lot of people are going to have strong opinions on the RAW versus JPEG debate. It is a religion to some people. And I say, use whatever works best for you. And for Reuters, that's JPEG. Usually, camera companies don't announce a camera until it's actually ready. At very least, though, they'll announce it and take pre-orders because they want to make some money, right? And the general thinking is that if you announce a camera is coming but don't actually allow people to order it, they're going to hold off making a purchase until it is. And that often causes sales to dry up. Now, Apple learned this the hard way a couple of decades ago. This was before Steve Jobs rejoined the company. I believe it was CEO Gil Amelio that was at the helm at that time at Apple. And he announced that new computers were coming. Well, as a result, people stopped buying the current models. You know, sales dried up. Tons of supply were left in the supply chain, which back then, you know, a couple decades ago, was more retailer heavy as opposed to online. And that created a cash flow problem for Apple, and that was not good. So I find it odd that Nikon would pre-announce that its flagship D5 is coming, especially when things aren't exactly going gangbusters over there at Nikon. In its press release, Nikon says, quote, Nikon Corporation is pleased to announce that it's developing the Nikon D5 digital SLR camera, which represents the next generation of professional Nikon FX format models, end quote. All right, I'm going to say this as eloquently as I can muster right now. Well, duh, of course the D5 is coming, and of course it's going to be amazing. It's the flagship model. What else isn't anyone expecting? You know, as reader Glenn Berry over on our website said, quote, an F7 announcement would have been a true surprise, but not a D5, end quote. I totally agree with what Glenn said. Of this announcement, Nikon Rumors says, quote, with this development announcement, Nikon is telling us that they are still live and relevant, end quote. Now, if you agree with that, and I do, how sad is it that Nikon felt the need to tell us that they're still around and they're still developing cameras and to hang in there because the D5 is coming? You know, it's going to be like $6,500 like the D4S was. Not many people are going to be able to afford that, but it's coming. So there's that. I reached out to our good friend Matt Granger from mattgranger.com, and you might remember once upon a time he was that Nikon guy. They say Nikon down in Australia. Anyways, you can get over that just like I did. It's okay. Nikon, Nikon, tomato, tomato, same thing, right? He gave me permission to use audio from a portion of the video he posted online of this non-announcement. So let's hear what Matt has to say about this.
Checked out the press release. Nikon announces the development of a new DSLR camera, the D5. Who didn't see that coming? All the D2s, D1, D3, D3S, D4, D4S. I think everyone took it for granted the D5 was going to be the next one and that it would be coming, you know, in the next year or so. The 1DX from Canon has been out for quite a while and we haven't had a new generation of flagship from Nikon. This is not really an announcement. I mean, I love Nikon, but there's no specs, no timing, and it's saying that the release date, suggested retail price are not determined. Specs and equipment are subject to change. Well, there's nothing here anyway. There are no specs. So I really don't see the point in this other than a placeholder to reassure any people who weren't sure that they're still going to make an update.
I'm in complete agreement with Matt. This is a bit of a bizarre announcement out of Nikon. And if you read the tea leaves in recent years here, you see a more complete picture of what's going on. Nikon's been getting kicked around and it feels the need to remind us, I guess, that they're still around. I don't know, it's kind of weird. They're touting their upcoming flagship body, which like I said, most photographers are not going to own. It's expensive. But I guess they want us to know that it's still in development. And you know, a lot of people aspire to have a camera like that. Even if they'll never own it, they want to know that there's something to aspire to. And so I appreciate that. But maybe it wasn't the best idea to announce that it's coming. Who's going to buy a D4S now, knowing that the D5 is maybe a few months away or so? You're only going to buy one if you need that kind of performance right now and you just can't wait. Not only did they not say when it's going to be released, they didn't say anything about its features, pricing, or anything. They just said, it's coming. It's in development. But here's a rundown of the rumored features that I've been able to find online. People are saying that it's going to have 20 megapixels, and that makes a lot of sense. This isn't going to be a body with massive resolution like the Sony A7R Mark II or the Canon 5DSR and 5DS. It's not. It's never going to be unbelievable high resolution compared to the other offerings out there. This camera is geared more towards photojournalists, sports photographers, and anyone else who needs speed and great low light performance. That's what it's designed for. Remember, as you increase the megapixel count, generally you increase the noise. So keeping it at a reasonable megapixel count makes a lot of sense. Rumor is that it's going to have a native high ISO of 102,400. Check on that as well. Everyone has high ISO cameras. That makes a lot of sense to me. The Nikon D4S tops out at 25,600. So this would be two additional stops of light gathering power. And if true, with the D5, sports shooters are going to be able to shoot in high school gyms, football fields, and other poorly lit venues at ISO, let's say 12,800, all day long, and it'll look amazing. And that's going to be really huge and greatly appreciated by them. Rumor is it's going to be 15 frames per second. That makes a lot of sense as well. Higher, but not crazy out of control. 4K video, no doubt about it. Unlike Canon, who keeps 4K out of its bodies because they want to steer you towards their more expensive cinema offerings, we'll likely see 4K in most, if not all, Nikon bodies going forward that are, you know, of a certain price range or so. They're not going to put them in the lower models, but you never know. Nikon needs to do something to stay relevant, and maybe if it puts 4K in all of its camera bodies, that would help increase sales. I suspect we're going to see the D5 sometime in the first quarter of 2016. For Nikon's sake, sooner rather than later would be good. It's going to be sometime, I don't know, February or March of 2016 is my guess. In addition to the D5 coming, Nikon also revealed that there's going to be a new wireless transmitter, the WT6, because that excites everybody, not, as well as a new speed light, the SB5000. And here's what's really weird. This is positioned above the SB910, the best that you can get from Nikon. Why isn't it the SB920 or the SB1000? It's the SB5000. That's a little weird. Maybe they think if they jack the number up like that, people are going to be like, wow, they've come a long way. Let's get that one. It's just weird that they're skipping straight to 5000. That's odd to me. I really hope Nikon knows what it's doing here. So we're going to see where this takes Nikon going forward. They have to do something. But announcing that a camera is coming may backfire. The flagship body isn't a massive chunk of their DSLR sales, but when you're not exactly killing it out there, why risk losing any sales, I say? So stay tuned. Maybe there's going to be additional weird announcements from Nikon. You never know. They like to make it interesting. Or maybe they'll come out with something to bedazzle your D4S and make it look all spruced up until the D5 comes. I don't know. Like many of you, I love Lightroom. Just not a big fan of late of how ridiculously slow it's gotten. But that's a whole other matter. And I'm also not a big fan of the changes that they've made with the usability of the program when they really didn't need to. And for those of you that are making your living with photography, any changes which slow you down in one way or another could mean lost income, and that's not appreciated. But you guys were vocal and Adobe heard you. But it took them about a month to change this. You know, they finally released Lightroom CC 2015.3 and 6.3. The latest update restores the old Lightroom experience for users prior to that ill-advised Lightroom 6.2 update, which Adobe profusely apologized for, as they should. It was horrible. You know, they really took it on the chin for that one, and I wasn't silent about my displeasure as well here on the podcast. Of this new update, Adobe says, quote, "The goal of this release is to provide additional camera raw support, lens profile support, and address bugs that were introduced in previous releases of Lightroom," end quote. Now notice how they didn't mention the bugs until the very end there. Interesting. You know, that's typical of a normal release, and we see that all the time on our phones. You know, when releases are pushed out, they usually say, you know, squashes, bugs, and blah, blah, blah. But this one was major. With as big of a flub as 6.2 was, it would have been nice for Adobe to put it right up front and own it, but they didn't. And sure, that draws attention to it more, but we all know what happened. Everyone's talking about it. Burying it at the end really bugs me. No pun intended. Since Adobe wants to push the support for new cameras so heavily they put it up front, let's talk about that. This update now supports Leica SL, Sony's RX1R Mark II, and the Canon EOS M10 for the five people out there that bought the M10 so far. I kid. It might be a few more than that. I don't know. 7, 8, who knows? Now, if you reverted your Lightroom after updating to version 6.2, in order to get that old import experience back, you can now safely, supposedly, update to version 6.3. And that's done via the update mechanism in Creative Cloud or by using the direct download links on Adobe's website. You know, one of these days, I hope we can report that Lightroom has been rewritten or otherwise worked on to greatly improve performance. You don't hear anything about speed improvements or anything that's going to help you do your job faster in Lightroom from Adobe anymore. Totally silent on that. And why? Because it is slow. If you've used it for years, you've likely seen it get slower and slower. I don't know if it just can't handle the huge files that are coming out of modern cameras or what, but it's making other programs like Capture One look a lot more appealing these days. Adobe is ginormous, and hopefully they're throwing resources at this. As much as I love Lightroom, I really don't want to spend all day in it, guys. So do something, please. Some things are just bigger than yourself, and hard decisions need to be made. And the folks at bag maker Gura Gear could certainly tell you that. Last year, when competitor Tamrac went bankrupt, Gura Gear came to the rescue and acquired the company's brand and assets. Well, a year later now, Gura Gear has decided to drop its own brand name in favor of the one that Tamrac has built over nearly four decades now. A name which many of us know very well, because we spent hundreds of dollars on that name. I've had the same Tamrac camera bag since I was in college, and that was more than a quarter of a century ago now. It's hard to believe. That thing is still kicking. You just can't kill them. In fact, it looks and functions much like it did when I bought it in like 1990. Crazy. Now, my old Tamrac photo vest, who knows what became of that? My mom sold it in a garage sale, and that thing might still be kicking on some old guy somewhere reliving the 1970s and 80s with his photo vest. I don't know. Hey, back in the day, those things were cool. Everyone wanted a photo vest. Now, you couldn't catch me wearing one. These days, it's all about Think Tank photo belt systems and that really cool messenger bag that Trey Ratcliffe developed. Really cool stuff. No one's wearing photo vests, or at least very few people are these days. Tamrac Gear has served myself and countless photographers well over the years, so when you have that kind of brand loyalty, you might as well make use of it, right? In a press release, the company writes that Gura Gear had developed a strong reputation over the years for its high-quality camera bags, but what they're seeking now is bigger reach. They say, quote, "We aren't interested in resting on our reputation, so to grow and spread our ideas to a wider audience, we bought Tamrac, a brand with nearly 40 years heritage and a global network. Now we've taken the best of Gura Gear, injected it into the all-new Tamrac, and would like to welcome you to the Tamrac family. Tamrac has been around for nearly 40 years, has greater brand equity, is easier to remember, spell, and say, and we simply like it better." End quote. You know, it's amazing that Gura Gear had enough money to buy Tamrac. I didn't realize they were that successful. They're not a very old company, so that speaks to how great their gear is. Everyone I've known who's owned Gura Gear bags raves about them. They're incredibly durable and functional, and everyone seems to just love them. And now you can get that under the Tamrac name. They've released two new bags, the G Elite G32, which is $430 US, and the G26, which goes for $380. Both of these new bags are, quote, "built on Gura Gear's DNA," end quote. No matter what the name, we wish them well. They make great gear. You can never have enough camera bags, right? Some of us own more camera bags than we even own cameras. There are some really foolish people out there, and clearly some of them just don't think before they do something which could endanger someone else's life. We were all shocked and saddened by the unbelievable horror of the Paris attacks last week, but apparently for one person, it was an opportunity to try out their photo editing skills and create something. Something extremely foolish. According to BuzzFeed, this past weekend, Gamergate critic Virinder Jabal, a Sikh man, discovered that one of the selfies he took with his iPad in his bathroom mirror was manipulated to show him wearing a suicide bomber vest, and the iPad was replaced with the Quran. Now, obviously, the Quran doesn't take photos, and he's clearly in the mirror, but apparently that fact was lost on many as they took to social media and voiced their outrage. If you've been around for a while, you'll notice that he's wearing a Sikh turban, and the power outlets are clearly North American. Same with the products that are seen in the photos. But people on the internets, that's right, the internets, rush to judgment, and that can be dangerous in some cases. What's really disturbing is that as this photo went viral, media outlets that should have known better around the world assumed that the photo was legit and began publishing it, identifying him as one of the alleged terrorists. And that is just messed up. Decades ago, this stuff would have been checked and double-checked. But with today's instant news cycle and the pressure to be first, unfortunate things like this happen. And you know what? Calling it unfortunate is an understatement. This is just not a good thing anytime that happens. Imagine someone recognizing him from the photo and taking the law into their own hands. It's happened before. This wouldn't have been the first time if that happened. This photo has made its way around the world and untold millions of people have seen it. And that puts his life at risk. And this thing's going to be out there forever. At any time, someone could take a shot at him thinking he's a terrorist, and that is not cool. On Twitter, he wrote, quote, "Engaging this entire incident, millions upon millions of people have seen the photoshopped images and have placed me as a terrorist," end quote. You know, these days we use the word Photoshop and photoshopped interchangeably. We don't know what the person who altered this photo actually used. So anytime you say Photoshop, it's like, ugh, I'm sure Adobe's like, great. Of course they used Photoshop to make him look like a terrorist. Could have been GIMP. Could have been anything. It's like Kleenex. Everyone says, hand me a Kleenex. You don't say, hand me a facial tissue, right? You know, when someone's life is at risk like this, it sure would be nice if the media did a little fact-checking first. It's just not worth the damage done to an innocent man. By reputation, now that people are going to see this, and people might harass him. And like I said, what if someone tries to kill him? Not cool. On our website, user TrueSharp said of this, quote, "Just goes to show how much the media really know about different cultures, and even scarier to see how very little is verified before the panic milk is churned," end quote. I completely agree with that, of course. Will they learn from this, though? Not likely. It'll happen again and again, and that's sad. And even sadder is that their incompetence will eventually get someone killed. All the Sikhs that I've known have been incredibly peaceful and kind. I'm sure a lot of people just assume they're Muslim, and that's not true. I wonder if the person who did this even cares about the damage they've done or the risk they've put him at. Who knows? I don't think they're going to be coming forward anytime soon, but it would be so easy for people to backtrack and find out where this photo originated. So, I don't know. Stay tuned. Maybe we'll find that out. I'd like to thank you all for joining us here in episode 22 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Don't forget to check us out at petapixel.com/podcast for the show notes and to see what else we have for you guys. If you head on over there, you can leave us a voicemail question to answer here on the show. For some reason, you know, we have thousands upon thousands of listeners and very few people call in with a question. There's a lot of shy people out there, I guess. I don't know. So use our voicemail widget or give us a call at area code 206-333-9308. And if you'd like to connect with me personally, hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook where I'm LensShark. That's LENSSHARK. All right. With that, I'll see you all in episode 23 from Idaho. Well, it's f8 and 250th of a second outside. It's time to shoot.
Please subscribe to the Petapixel Photography Podcast. My daddy is the host.